The Lord has brought us near, a people once far off.
Come, you thankful people, come. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The Lord has reconciled us in one body through the cross.
Come, ye thankful people, come. Let us rejoice and be glad.
We all have access to God in one spirit.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Let us pray. Let us pray together. Loving God, you have known us and chosen us from the very beginning. You're managing ourselves in charge of your world, independent of your will. By your grace, forgive us when we try to ignore your powerful presence in our lives. Forgive us when we turn from your saving love. Cleanse our hearts and lead us back to you, the joy of your salvation. Let everlasting forgiveness bring forth your praise. Because Christ has freed us to live beyond the bondage of our sin and wrongdoing, as our Father and the Scriptures say to us, that we are to be a forgiven people. Hear these words of good news. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees, and say to those who are of a fearful presence, stress, and fear not, for behold, your God has come. I declare unto you, therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven and given new life, new grace, new power right now. Amen. Seated. We come to the time of the offering, and with the virus, obviously, the plates, I assume, are out there in the narthex for you to contribute as you will and to help us. Let us sing and praise in this time of doxology for the chance of giving, the chance of participating, the chance of being the church.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Almighty and gracious Father, we remember and help us to remember that we have been enlightened by your teaching, that we walk in newness of life as an offering of ourselves and a thrusting of us into the world you come to work out your ministry as we participate in and for this world. Amen. Be seated. For our New Testament lesson, which is the main one that I'm referring to, it's 1 Timothy 6:11 through 18. Strive for righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, an interesting combination there. Run your best in the race of faith and win eternal life for yourself, for it was to this life that God has called you. When you firmly professed your faith before many witnesses, before God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ Jesus, who firmly professed his faith before Pontius Pilate. I command you, therefore, to obey your orders and keep them faithful until the time of the Lord shall come. His appearance will be brought about at the right time by God's blessing and his rulership, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He alone is immortal. He lives in the light that no one can approach, for no one has seen him, for one can never see him. In him be honor and glory and power. Amen. Command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hope not in uncertainty of things riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment. Isn't that interesting? Command them to do good and to be rich in the good works, and generously ready to share with others. Here ends the reading from 1 Timothy.
Thanks be to God.
And then reading from Isaiah. Isaiah 35, 1 through 8. The desert will rejoice, and the flowers will bloom to the wasteland, and the desert will sing and shout for joy. It will be as beautiful as the Lebanon mountains, as fertile as the fields of Carmel and Sharon. Everyone will see the Lord's splendor, see his greatness and power. Give strength to the hands that are tired, to knees that tremble with weakness, till everyone who is discouraged be strong. Do not be afraid. God is coming to your rescue. The blind shall be able to see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap and dance. Can't you see that? All of us running around leaping and dancing. And those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Streams of water will flow through the desert, and the burning sand will become a lake, and the dry land will be filled with springs. Where jackals used to live, marsh grasses and reeds will grow. There will be a highway there called the Road, or the Holy Way. Here ends the reading from the scripture.
Thanks be to God.
There was a play one time in which a person was talking about life, and the woman in this play was talking about how hollow her life was. She says, "Don't you get the feeling sometime in this that this is a broken world?" These days we can surely understand that. Something she said like a watch. The parts are all there. They look all right. But the mainspring inside is broken. Therefore, it doesn't work. It no longer has meaning. Life looks just fine. The watch looks just fine until you look at it carefully and realize that the meaning and the significance of the watch, or the life, as she would say, is missing. Its mainspring is gone. No doubt many people today would echo that in many different ways. For there is much in life, even today, even during this last week, that make us feel useless, meaningless, frustration, the virus and the events at the Capitol. And all of this can just lead us to despair. What's next? What could be any worse? Some people say it's kind of like a yo-yo. If any of you remember dropping one of those things, and it'll spin at the bottom and then it'll pop right back up and so on. We tend to tie knots in the string, and other people tie knots in the string. Therefore, when it goes down, it probably won't come up, and if it does, it's going to jerk, jerk, jerk trying to make it. We come, but with another note going on in our lives and in our world. It's a more muted one. We don't hear it shouting at us, but it's the note of affirmation. Perhaps very quietly, and sometimes we miss that affirmation. A kind of affirmation that says life and the power that gives us life is open, welcome to dreams and hopes. A word of affirmation that comes as a dare to us in the midst of this world, that life-giving power of God is alive, active, and works to live that life not only in and through us, but in and through the world and all of its events. That life does possess a mainstream spring that makes it a profound dimension. Ultimately, our Christian faith says to us, "My golly, hold on to that crazy possibility, even if it sounds crazy some of the time." We work on the process that life is really not just full of dirty jokes and horrible things that happen and nothing happening and people dying, but that there are real possibilities. Here in the letter to Timothy, he says, "Seize hold of that life, that which has been called you to live and for which you were made, full of wonder and faith and love and justice and endurance and, yes, even enjoyment." Yes, we are not all supposed to be droopy, you know. Presbyterians are not supposed to be too emotional, you know. and all that kind of stuff. Forget it. Life is a gift from the life-giving God. He lives in the power of light and life. No one has ever seen God, as this passage says and several others in the scripture. No one has ever seen God. But God gives life not just to us, but to everybody and to everything in this world. In chapter 4, verse 4, and following in Timothy, it says, God has created everything, and he created it good. I don't know about you, but I immediately think of the first part of the call of creation at Genesis, where he talks about everything is good, and we wonder sometimes. But that is the affirmation. Nothing is to be rejected and everything is to be received with thanksgiving. Wow. We are to place our hope in a God who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment? Yes. Chapter 6, verse 17. Wow. Getting in touch with that mainstream of life means first some sense of deep, significant trust. Changing from a life based on fear, which is so often where we are, to one based in trust. From going from being a closed person more and more as things happen, pulling in just to yourself, and to be a person who is open to life and open to others, freed from that motivating sense of oughtness. You know how that is. Well, I think I should do this or I should do that. That's not what we're talking about. To being a person who can make a free, independent judgment and directions, God has given it to us. From being a controlling person, which is so easy to do, who manipulates other people, to become an interactive person who's willing to participate with others in a commitment of trust. Ideally, that should be the church. Ideally, that should be what we practice in the world. But so often we get caught. We get hemmed in. We get blocked by our fears. A kind of paranoia that just kind of grabs hold of us and squeezes and keeps us from being such a trusting with other people and with ourselves and with life. And when we let it, that fear seeps in and takes over us, and we end up being mistrustful of what and anybody. We end up being hard and cynical people. And that's not good. That saps all of our energies in the wrong way that could be available for creative and positive thrusts and activity and involvement. At this critical point, the gospel of Jesus Christ and of God speaks and says that the God is a God of incredible grace, regardless of how we foul it up. That he loves us, he trusts us, he affirms us. That God's love, God's power work to trust our possibilities, even when we don't tend to trust them, can penetrate that fear that we wear somehow or another around, and then sometimes we just kind of pull it over our head and hope it just goes away. Our lives can be open. They can be freed. They can be responsive. Within each one of us are incredible possibilities. And you must trust your potential. Yes, we're far from perfect. But it's amazing what we can do and be. There's an old story about Albert Einstein that probably isn't true, but it sure is a great story. And his death, when he died, they studied his brain with great care, and it contained 9 billion cells. Can you conceive of 9 billion cells in each one of us? Just like everybody. And the story goes that his attorney came forward to read a letter that Einstein had written just before he died. He said, "Gentlemen, I'm sure you've now discovered that my brain, like any other human brain, has 9 billion cells. And it's no different from any one of us, any human being. The only difference is I knew that, and therefore I used them." Your potential. Discover the mainspring of life. It's worth it again to take hold of life with trust and openness and have a new faith in possibilities. Secondly, have a sense of anticipation. Look forward to something. In a diary written, there was a situation in which you hear these words, "Today when Joan drove me to work, she said, 'This is one of those days where there's nothing worth looking forward to. Nothing going on. I just as well go back and go to bed.'" Ever felt that way? Sure, you have. Your human being, even if you didn't go to bed. A couple of hours later, it said, she called me up and she said, "I was wrong. It's a beautiful day." She had decided on the spur of a moment to visit with a close friend, have coffee with her, share some experiences, and it brought a new attitude to her whole day and made it a wonderful day. In other words, when there's nothing to look forward to, no anticipation of excitement and meaningful day, you know, so what? It's dead. Just as well go to bed. In a sense, anticipation comes along with a heightened sensitivity and an excitement of life. It's like being tuned in to what God created us to be. The breaking in of the Spirit of God in us for us to break forth into the world. As we learn to open ourselves and trust the possibilities of life, we get touched by a situation that now, each now, is filled with fresh possibilities. And we become freed for new insights if we give it half a chance. I love that Edna St. Vincent Millay famous poem. I look around here. Well, she was 19 when she wrote that. Most of us are a lot older than that. She said, "Up from the ground I sprang, and I hailed the earth with such a cry as not heard except from a person who has been dead and become alive again. About the trees I wound my arms tight. Like one gone mad, I hugged the ground, and I raised my quivering arms on high, and I laughed and laughed into the sky, till at my throat there became a strangled sob, caught fiercely in a great heart throb, and tears came into my eyes. 'Oh God,' I cried, 'whatever the darkness skies, can never hereafter hide from me your radiant identity all around me like a web of life. The heart can split the sky in two and let the face of God shine through. Although it usually comes up this way rather than that way. But anyhow. And east and west can pinch the heart. A person that cannot weep then is pushed apart, and when the heart is flat, the sky will cave in on you by and by. Flat hearts. Living with expectancy. Don't be one whose heart is flat, but rather intimidate that there's always something more, and you're missing a lot of it. The sense of hope. It belongs to the very nature of existence, tuning into the life that God has given us. Forward, open. One degree of aliveness can be seen by the points at which your life touch others and touch life. The body, the mind, the spirit, all in a unified vitality, not split all up. Some people touch life a lot more than others do. Jesus said, "But I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly." Woo, abundantly, no less. The meaning of abundancy has to do with the word undare in Latin. But as one person had put it, it means to rise above the waves of life. Think about those waves. Life rising up in waves as it comes and comes over you and is out there. Think about it. Are you riding any waves at all these days? If not, you ought to get with it. What happens is, for most of us, it's kind of like riding some little dribbles. God never meant that we should dribble through life, but abundantly. A new outlook, a new attitude. This is the new year, in a sense. In the church year, there was Christmas, and now the 6th, which I think was probably Thursday, was the first day of Epiphany, and so we're very close to that. And that's a season in which we get away from anticipation and birth, and we start moving with the life of Jesus, his parables, his teaching, himself, and then move on ultimately to that as it's involved with Lent. So it's kind of like a new year. And it is a new year for us, even secularly. We need to look at life as not some sort of sentence handed out to us by one of those disgruntled judges who says, "Ooh, ooh," and pushes you down. We should see life as something to be received and embraced and lived. And the question is whether we got the courage. Oftentimes we don't. We need to take hold of it, reaching out, risking the yes, feeling the power and excitement. And don't let the problems and the negativity part of it just get all in the way and consume you. Grasp it and make it your own. To live as if God were the power at the heart of this universe. To live as if love is the ultimate affirmation. That life can be full of vitality and power and meaning. To quote again from the letter to Timothy, take hold seize that life which you have been called to, that to which you were made, full of wonder and faith and love and endurance and, yes, even enjoyment. Yes, surely. Life is a gift from the life-giving God. It's for us. It's to be tapped. It's to be experienced. It's to be enriched. It's no panacea. Doesn't solve all your problems. It's not an easy answer. In fact, it's not flowery rhetoric that you hear and then you go on off. By the time you get home, you've forgotten all about it. Just to make you feel good. That's not what it is. It's faith and trust and affirmation, embracing life. So go forth today and the next day and the next and ride the boisterous waves of life. Try it. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Let's sing another hymn.
Stand with the affirmation of faith.
Yeah. There's a hymn.
I think that. Oh, the hymn. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yes. That's okay.
I knew she was standing there for a good reason.
Yes. If you will join me in hymn 369, I'm going to live so God can use me. Stand if you are able.
Continue standing and affirm the Apostles' Creed. It's in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand
of God the Father Almighty. From thence she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You might be seated. Let us come together in terms of our prayer, not only by ourselves, but a prayer also of the people and a prayer of the intercession. Let us pray. O Lord, we come singing. Not too well, but we do it fairly well. We come together praying. We come together learning. Keep us aware, O God, that you are present in every part of our life and the life of the world, and especially with being together with each other. O God, we pray that the barriers between us will be broken down, and that we may cross lines that have divided and emerge in a new unity. Help us to become aware of each other's needs, not just our own. Those needing comfort for sorrow, love for their loneliness, guidance in their decision making, strength in their struggles, patience for their problems as they work through them. Unite us, O God, as we come before you as needy people. Minister unto us throughout each and into each and in relationship to each other as we pray for the grace that comes from each other. And Lord, we pray together that we will have the kind of relationship with your grace and goodness that's not just as words, but as experiences. We need to know within our own relationships forgiveness, reconciliation, that we might be instruments of your peace, even, yes, and very definitely, yes, beyond the walls of the church and in this new year. And therefore, our worship here gives us new insight and inspiration that we might go forth knowing that we have been with you, and because we have been with each other. As we pray together that prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll stay back here since this is where the mic is. Otherwise, I'd get out there. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.